Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to men. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God! How rich and pure, how measureless and strong! It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Reading from Romans chapter 12, the first number of verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So far we read God's holy word. Let's pray that we will have understanding of it and a willingness to be doers of the word as well as hearers. Let's give thanks that God has given us this holy word from heaven. Certainly we have to give answer to it. To those that have been given much, we have much more to answer than those that are given little. If we are punished, those that have been given much will be beaten with many stripes, and those that have been given little will be beaten with few stripes. And we have to think about that. We in our country have been given much. We have moved away from the faith of our fathers and away from the word of the living God. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. First of all, for the spiritual blessings mentioned here by Paul, described as the mercies of God that are described in the earlier chapters, beginning with the description of their faith in Christ and Paul's trust in the gospel of Christ. When he could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Then giving us teaching of sin and salvation, showing us that salvation is not of works of man, but all by thy grace. And we pray, Father, that we might in our day receive these teachings, these doctrines, some of which are very much to the humbling of the flesh, and many not wanting to receive that, and hearing of those that speak against it, even when, especially when thou dost tell us by the pen of Paul, that thou art the potter and we are the clay, and thou hast every right to mold us according to thy will. And we pray and plead that thou wilt mold us after the image of Christ, even as thou hast said, those whom thou dost predestine, thou dost predestine to be conformed to his image. And we pray we might have more of that, more of thy spirit, that will lead us into all truth, the truth of thy word. And again we give thanks for a perfect word. We give thanks that we can have it in freedom, and we pray that we might use it to redeem the time, knowing the days are evil, and knowing that this word could be taken from us as well as it has been from others. We pray, Father, that we might have a reviving in the church, an awakening in both the church and the home, and that that will lead to an awakening in the nation and to our government. We pray for our leaders, that thou will put thy fear in their hearts. We pray for those that need thy healing hand in the body, in sickness, those that especially are in serious illness. We pray for them. We pray also for the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray, Father, especially for those in the terribleness of the war in Ukraine and what it is doing and suffering. We pray that thou restrain the wicked in the Arab lands, also in Africa, where more and more of the Islamic terrorists are persecuting and burning villages and killing, kidnapping. We pray, Father, that that may lessen and not continue and increase. We pray that thou also protect our land from it. We know that that lie is there that denies thee, Lord Jesus, as the Son of God. And there are those who teach that. It is too much received and not saw in the seriousness and the error that it is. We pray, Father, also for the unborn, that thou wilt make us to see that they are also a body that we need to love as we are here to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not only our own, but everybody and everybody that we need to love as our own, and help us to see the awfulness of the murder of the unborn, and more, also the murder of the elderly. And we pray, Father, that we might see the hardness of our heart bring us back to the faith of our fathers that have begun our nation and suffered, giving us the land of freedom. And we pray, Father, that we might have all that is needed, that thou wilt call more laborers to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest where the laborers are few. We pray for especially our broken homes and the children in them, that thou wilt guide them to thy word, that they might have a light on their path. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, I want to spend some more time, especially on those words in the first verse, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to see above all that it is unto God. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, ye turned to God from idols. Not just from idols to God, but to God. And we must see and know the living God, as the Lord Jesus said in his prayer the night before he died, that this is eternal life, that we know thee, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to know all the things that God tells us in his word about himself. One of the things he tells us in the very beginning of Scripture, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There are so many that deny that today, that God is our creator. He has created the world. He has created it, as he said, and tells us not only the story of creation, but all that goes with it, later giving his holy law from Mount Sinai, and that which affects all bodies, from the mount in the midst of the thunderings, the lightnings, and all the troubled sounds, thou shalt not murder. We are not to murder anyone's body. And we're doing it. 2,000 to 3,000. Some may say even more than that every day. What a group of bodies God sees every day murdered at the end of the day. It's almost beyond comprehension. Some of those bodies, a certain percentage of them, are pulled apart in their mother's womb. They're murdered in a hideous way. And I say it again, they're murdered in a hideous way. Do we know it? Do we know it? Do we know the terribleness of it? If we honestly did, I think there would be more prayer and fasting that this will be stopped. When Judah murdered and when they killed the innocent, God could not pardon their sin because of it. They could have no forgiveness. God brought about the judgment on them, as he said already to Noah, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. And we are shedding the blood of bodies, 2,000 to 3,000 a day. And the bodies of the elderly. There were those organizations that are actually guilty of first-degree murder. They plan it. They plan to poison the mind, and they plan not to feed the body. And it's done. I've been told it by the organizations themselves, by the families. So it's from both the old and the young that murder is being done. Bodies are not being recognized as God's creation. And that's one of the reasons he will bring the judgment on those that are murderers. He says, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed, because they've been created in the image of God. Every one. As David said, God, thou knowest me before I was formed in my mother's womb. Before. Not after I was born. But before I was formed. And as we can read in Ecclesiastes, how God forms the body in the mother's womb, the bones are formed, one bone after another, all formed by God. And later, if we believe the Bible, we will say God did that from the very beginning. The plan, the purpose, and the actual deed of bringing life. That's why when we read of predestination, whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. As we can read by Paul's words to the Ephesians, that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knew when we would be born. He knew who would be born. He knew who he would save through Christ and give life to it. We may believe that those that are murdered, he'll take to himself. What they'll be like when the time of heaven and eternity, one man that lost a child very young had a dream one night. Believed he saw his child as a grown person in heaven. And that's very possible. There will not be helpless babies. They will be those that have no sickness, no weakness, no sin. They will be perfect in heaven. God knows them all. And for them to be brought to heaven by the murder of another, how terrible, terrible, terrible. Yes, terrible. I should repeat it a dozen times, how terrible it is, and we don't know it. We are a hard-hearted nation, growing harder, and one day we'll be cut off. When God said he could not pardon the sin of Judah, here's what he said to Jeremiah. It shall come to pass, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and I will point over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. God is going to do that to Judah, and he did. What if he would do that to us? What if he would make all the dogs to tear their owners? And that's what he says here, the dogs to tear. If we can tear the bodies apart of an unborn, and God could allow Satan to work in us in that way. He could bring about that the way he says here to Judah. Judgment is going to come if we do not repent and we do not give heed to God's word as it is from the very beginning of this book of Romans. It would be nice if we could say that all of us had experienced the mercy. But those who have murdered the unborn evidently have not experienced the mercy of God. They're murderers. As we read in the end of the first chapter of Romans, not only those that do those things, but those that have pleasure in them. People vote for those who want murder to be allowed. And now, when there are the question of changing the law concerning the allowance of the murder of the unborn, there are already riots and people rising up against it. They do not want a right law in agreement with God's holy word that he spoke from Mount Sinai. Spoke in audible ways, thou shalt not murder. Yes, another thing he said from Mount Sinai was that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. Do we believe it? If we don't, God tells us also in Romans chapter 1 that we're given over to foolishness and darkness. That's where we are in our nation. We are foolish. We are in darkness. We can't think right. And if we don't think rightly, we won't know the need of the mercy of God. And if we don't know the need of it, we won't be in this number here to which Paul is speaking and saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Present our bodies, do the most we can for the bodies of others, young and old. But coming back to our own bodies, presenting them. The body, what is it? Paul tells the church at Rome there are different ways in which we can do harm to the body. Probably the two most common ways are, one is eating that destroys the body, killing ourselves by eating the lust of the flesh, harming the body. The other is the immorality that can also harm the body. I live in a county that has young death rate because there's so much HIV. There's so much homosexual activity in our county that it lowers the age of death, lower than other parts of the country. So, those two things, the lust of the flesh, pride of life, when we do not want to do as God says, we read Corinthians, the body, fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Yes, our body is of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that is one way of destroying our body. Much of it is different diseases that are so prevalent, and so much especially among the young people, destroying the body. And the other is, as we are also told, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So if we eat to the glory of God, then we will eat rightly for the body. And if we don't, then we are doing what God has warned against by the Apostle John. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he describes what it is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. That's it. The lust of the flesh. People eat to the destruction of their body physically, and they eat to the destruction of the soul. If we have the lust of the eyes, and we want to feed the body indiscriminately, not to the glory of God, John here tells us what it is, what it does. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have Christ. If we are controlled by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, all that is in the world, the pride of life, think I can do it. I'll do as I please. That's my choice. Our pride. We have to be humble before God and listen to the Word of God. And as Christ says, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to be that and that only. That's the straight and narrow way. There are people that eat that much that they harm their bones. I know one person that needs a hip transplant. And because of the weight, they can't do it. They have to lose weight. They have to stop eating indiscriminately to the flesh. We are, as a generation, much heavier than our former generation. It is harming our body. We are, as they say, obese. We are more and more in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. So we are immoral and dissatisfied, wanting to change our sex organs and go from male to female and what they call transgender. All of that because of a dissatisfaction of what God has given us and what is to the glory of God. We are sinning in so many ways, and we are further and further from God. Part of it, I think, is from the very beginning, that when we do not recognize God as Creator, our foolish hearts are darkened, and we are in that way. At the same time, as Paul says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we are there. God said so. If we do not recognize God as Creator, we are in the dark. We are unwise. We are, God says, become fools. And we do foolish things. That's why we have a government that is doing foolish things and destroying our country. But it's not the government's fault, first of all. It's our fault. It's those who were foolish and voting for wrong people. Not having people that are good statesmen, as in the past, coming out of homes that fear the Lord. And that's what we need. We used to hear the statement, the hand that rocks the cradle guides the nation. Are we doing that rightly, mothers, to their children? Are we? You give the answer. Are the schools doing it? I'm afraid not. There's many, many things taught in the school. One of them, the terrible lie of evolution. And other things, bringing more hatred between races than love. All the foolish things that are taught, evil ways taught to our children, bringing them to confusion, and now we bring on ourselves what they call the problem of mental health. And we have organizations pointed to deal with it, thousands and thousands of dollars, even millions, to deal with it. And what a sad case it is. Mental health. What it is lack of spiritual health, lack of trust in God, lack of in all of our ways acknowledging Him and having Him direct our paths. That's what we are told. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. We're warned lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means pray, pray, pray. Lord, how do you want me to do this? Lord, when do you want me to do that? How am I going to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God? How am I going to do it, loving my neighbor as myself, old and young? Far different than what we're doing today. It ought to make us weep. It ought to make us do like the Corinthian church did after Paul wrote to them. They had fervent mourning. He was afraid that he wrote the letter too strong. After he heard what happened, he said, I don't repent, though I did repent. He thought he had spoke to them too strongly when he called them babes. He called them carnal. He said they were proud. They were puffed up. He had to humble them. And God did humble them, and that's what we need today. We need the humbling as the Corinthian church had. The best part of the church is much like that, in weakness and babes. Carnal, as he said. And then at the same time, proud. I think all the church knows there's much wrong in the nation. But do we know that what's wrong with me, myself? That's where we have to begin. Christ said, take the beam out of your own eye first, and then you can see clearly to take the splinter out of another eye. We say, well, a beam, that must be a terrible sin. It is simply pride. We have to take the pride out of our heart, thinking we're better than others. And part of this here is to have oneness, oneness with God, oneness with our neighbor. When the apostles argued among them with the greatest, they didn't have much blessing. Later on, they must have humbled themselves, and they were described as being in one place and one accord in prayer and supplication. And soon after that, the Spirit was given. And how we need the Spirit of God today again in the church and in the world to convict. Oh, how we need it. I need it. You need it. Let's pray for it. Thinking of the second stanza of the song that was sung, when years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall dwell endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. The last stanza, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.